Asking yourself the question, are you becoming a zombie, might possibly be something you may not have actually considered in terms of life, but certainly we all have moments where we tend to get stuck in various aspects, and there's a balance between intellect, experience, mind, body, and so on. We're delighted now to be able to welcome to the airwaves of Southside Broadcasting, and indeed Siren 107.3 FM, the author of The Practical Guide to Figuring Yourself Out, Know Thyself, as the Greek oracle at Delphi once said, the legendary soul. It is indeed Patricia Honeyoats. Pat Honeyoats, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm fabulous, Alex. Thank you. How are you?
I'm delighted to connect with your good self. And yes, all good. But this is a fascinating text that you're just about to start, obviously, promoting. It is available. The Practical Guide to Figuring Yourself Out, a book for people who feel that they've been doing instead of living. Interesting.
Yeah, and it's really an awakening for some people when they realize that, hey, I don't have to be sick to get better. I'm doing fine, kind of, sort of. But if I just discover these two things or add this one thing, my life changes.
And that's really what it's all about, because ultimately, no matter how often we can actually start saying, oh, I need to have this pill, that pill, the other pill, etc., true change actually starts from within, convincing yourself that actually it's time to move on.
Absolutely. And that's really the only place true change can take place.
Pat, share with us a little bit of the areas and experiences you've been through, because obviously we speak to you today, we're actually in the British Isles, you're over in Arizona, it's a whole new world from that point of view. You're a certified medical hypnoanalyst, you've also been helping thousands of people since 1982 take ownership of themselves and working through that. How did that, and your master's degree in counselling and so on, how did that all kind of coalesce to form this fabulous notion of sort of finally saying, yeah, I'm going to put this down, I'm going to put it down on the world, open it up, and produce The Practical Guide to Figuring Yourself Out?
Well, you see, I think any book is really the person that it authors it. I think it's their journey. And you know, I know this is especially true for me. I know that I went through the various stages that I describe in the book, and I've also seen my clients go through these stages and take these steps. And I'll share something personal, Alex, and that was I was really mad at my husband when he passed away because he didn't write his book, and some of his experiences and methods will never be known to the world and can't help anyone. And I wanted to make sure that I walked my talk and didn't do the same thing. This is a step-by-step guide that if you follow, you can do better, and it's easy, and well, it's easy to follow. Not always necessarily easy to do. But the whole thing was about sharing with other people steps to take that they can be a much better them. And having walked those steps, it was important to me to share that in a way that other people could gain as well.
Looking for the maxim that life is good. Sometimes we hear that phrase, those three little words. We forget it, don't we? We forget that life is not just good, it's very good. In fact, it's excellent.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it can be even better. Hmm. And what happens, Alex, is people focus on some of the day-to-day stuff that, you know, maybe is not as fun or as interesting. And we focus on that instead of focusing on looking at the overall picture and going, wow, look where I've come from. Look where I get to go. It's about focus, I think.
I'm intrigued by the notion of the WZ syndrome, or technically WZ syndrome, walking zombie syndrome. What we started off with in terms of, are you a walking zombie? Well, presumably none of our listeners have yet actually had a penchant for eating flesh or brains. But if we're not looking at that, why do we look at that maxim of sort of people who have kind of lost pieces of ourselves and people who have kind of gone to that? Is there a kind of checklist where you go, see, hang on, you know, maybe I am actually just walking, sleepwalking through life?
Exactly. There's actually pieces of ourselves that we lose all the time and we don't even realize it. And it always reminded me of the, well, I'm older, so I get the old walking zombie movies on TV now where the person appears to be alive and living, but inside is empty and pretty much dead. The difference is we lose pieces all the time and don't even realize it. What this book helps you to do is to realize where you've lost some of those pieces And guess what? Then you get to bring them back, because it shows you how to do that as well.
Mm. I also covered the fascinating notion of jobbers or jobbers, judgments, opinions, beliefs, expectations, and rules. And they always seem to keep you stuck. They're little jobbers, those jobbers, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a real pain in the neck. Mm. And I rarely use the word always, Alex, but they will always keep you stuck. That is one of the rare times that that word is spot on.
And is that relating to judgments of ourselves, judgments of others, both, and kind of getting caught into that sort of fact of saying, oh, well, I'm okay, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so or as good as so-and-so, and kind of, you know, setting ourselves up for really impossible targets by saying, you know, I'll never be Tom Cruise, why would you want to be? But, you know, or whomever you might sort of choose to be, you kind of set impossible goals, really.
Exactly. And it's about, you know, expectations. We expect this or that from someone else. Well, it's probably not going to happen. And when we drop that, then life is a breeze. Mm. You know, I often tell clients, drop all your judgments, opinions, beliefs, expectations, and rules, and life is a breeze. And it really is.
Interesting. I can see judgments and opinions possibly being able to, expectations even to a certain extent, as many Buddhists will say, you need to just release it and work through that. Fascinated by beliefs and rules. I mean, are those limiting beliefs? Are they self-limiting beliefs? And obviously, many folk would actually say, well, if you dropped all the rules, you'd have anarchy.
Yes, you would. You would. So mostly what I'm talking about, there are rules that we put on ourselves. My mother always taught me that I was to scour the pan before I put the roast in it to put it in the oven. Well, okay, but I had washed the pan the last time I used it, but I can get something that simple can get someone so hung up that they have to follow that rule. And that sounds minor, but I have clients that happens to, that if they don't scour that pan immediately before using it, they are in anxiety all day. So that's a rule that you've made up or that someone has taught you that you need to drop. Yeah, so obviously I'm not talking about, you know, the stop signs and
well, absolutely. I mean, I could sort of envisage a situation, hopefully it would never occur, where people actually sort of say, well, I just ignored the rules, officer, because that's what I felt I should do. I should just ignore the rule. No, not good.
Not good at all.
Exactly.
Not good at all. So it's the self-imposed rules that are arbitrary that really make no sense at times.
And again, we started talking about that. Again, it's something philosophers have talked about for thousands of years, not just, you know, centuries, etc., ever since the French existentialists kind of came up with the notion of cogito ergo sum, this notion of intellect versus experience, the mind and the body, what we kind of intellectualize, how we actually, as you phrase it, Pat, and I think it's extremely well put together, thinking versus feeling. If you actually maintain that logical, cold, unemotional approach, maybe you're missing out on life as well.
Well, you're missing out on life, but more importantly, Alex, you're missing out on learning and growing. Mm. Half of our learning and half of our growing, or at least that much of it, involves experience. And if you're not willing to experience, you're losing half of your learning.
And is it fair to say that actually it's a misnomer to turn around and say, oh, well, you know, this is all very good if you're dealing with teenagers or if you're dealing with sort of young adults, etc., but if we're at a certain stage of one's life, we're very experientially enhanced, it's far too late for me to start learning, etc. I think it's fair to say it's never, ever too late. You could always actually start changing things, adjusting things, and hopefully sort of setting off on a better course of life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, I don't think you're too old to do anything until you're in your grave. And then there might be some that would discuss that with me. But no, it's, you can always make your life better. And that doesn't mean there has to be anything wrong to begin with, quote. But yeah, I've worked with people in their 80s, and they'll make one small change or drop one belief or be open to one new idea, and it can be miraculous for them.
Actually, based in Arizona, we were recently featuring a wonderful movie director called Ilana Rain, who produced a movie called Ellipse, a short film in the Sci-Fi London Film Festival, directed that as well, and obviously she was responsible for We Are All Silence. But Ilana, when she was travelling through Arizona, did a couple of links with us and said there was something, something about Arizona and the desert and the connection with nature that she felt very spiritually moved by. Is that something that you find in terms of the location, and maybe it's a case of it essentially created it yourself, as a sort of subconscious level, that actually assists in the production of really beginning to figure out, to use that term once again, the human condition?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it is something about the location. Obviously, it comes from within, and it comes from being open to learning and growing. But there's something about the desert for some of us, Alex. I regularly, not as often as I would like, I regularly just go to the desert. It's just, it's unexplainable. It just seems to clear, and it gives me focus, and I feel at home there. And that it gives me the freedom to have these ideas brought to me, these concepts brought to me, and to feel at peace within myself. I really think it has a lot to do with the desert.
And of course, there is a historical precedent for that, not only the 40 days and 40 nights and the aspect of sort of going to spend time in the desert. I'm not going to actually start going down any particular religious viewpoint here, but it is something which clearly is part of the human condition, that maybe actually we do sometimes need to have that notion. Even if you're actually listening to this in a wet weekend in Hull or in Lincoln or wherever you happen to be, Manchester or indeed Paris or globally, there is time where you need to almost not necessarily go through a kind of painful rebirth, but to actually sort of just take time out to sort of focus on things.
Exactly, absolutely. And, you know, one person's desert is another person's mountain or another person's river or another person's beach. So it's not always the desert for everyone. You don't have to be in a desert, and you pointed that out very clearly. I have one client especially that when it rains, that's when she goes. She goes out, and that's her desert. So I think it's different for everyone.
Couple of sort of other points, Pat, which sort of emerged from sort of reading through that, and it is a very easy to read book, but it's a very profound sort of text to actually work through. And in terms of the line of things, clearly the sort of list of possibilities, how to attain career goals you always felt were beyond your reach. Particularly interested, obviously, within the medium of radio and broadcasting, about how to communicate in a more mature and empowered way. Actually, that's not just for broadcasting. Surely it's life. How often we get into situations or conversations, it may be with government officials, it may be with loved ones, it may be with friends, family, it may be with business associates, where you kind of come away and think, if only I'd said that, or if only I'd scripted that in, or, you know, we kind of just feel as though we're giving our power away.
And see, the opposite is true. When you speak and you communicate and listen very clearly, it empowers both of you, because then, that's practically what it does, Alex, is it removes judgments, opinions, beliefs, expectations, and rules.
Those Jobers again.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah, you see, they just keep popping up. Exactly.
They do.
As with any author, once you've produced the text and you put it out there, and I mean, I think this is going to be fantastic. I mean, obviously, once again, it's figuring yourself out how to go from stuck to star of your own life, or star of your life, basically. Was it a matter of kind of after you'd finished it, you thought, right, that's it, and put it out there? Are you already working on a follow-up, or is it a case of you just thinking, well, look, you know, this piece is out there now, we'll see what the universe will manifest with it?
Well, actually, the second one is complete. It just has to have the finishing touches on it, and it's going to go probably within the next 3 or 4 months. I can get it into the printers. And it's just a little pocket book. It's called The Pocket Therapy, or The Pocket Coach. But then next one is still in my head, and I haven't had time to get it out on paper, but it's going to be another practical guide to full self-expression.
Yeah. And again, that whole notion of the practical guide to figuring yourself out is critical to the whole sort of setup, etc. clearly, we're living in a global world. This interview is part and testament to that, as we're sort of crossing the Atlantic, thanks to obviously the telecommunications companies and so on. Do you feel that as humanity is progressing through the 21st century, and there are lots of healers and teachers and folk around from that perspective, it is important to keep focusing on ourselves? And maybe actually, Pat, what I'm asking you is, do you have a kind of short little brief sort of notion, apart from obviously going and getting hold of a copy of The Practical Guide to Figuring Yourself Out, which goes without saying, that you would actually like to share with our listener on this particular program?
It's actually, yeah, we have to become self-centered, and I don't mean that in a selfish way, Alex. We have to be centered on ourselves in order to give to the universe, in order to give to the world. It's about taking care of ourselves. We cannot give what we do not have. So it's really about remembering who we are and then being that on purpose in the world.
Pat, it's been fantastic just sharing some thoughts with your good self today. A reminder, of course, it's The Practical Guide to Figuring Yourself Out, How to Go from Stuck to Star of Your Life, by Patricia J. Honeyoats. And will be available presumably via all the usual outlets online, and presumably you can actually sort of put in the orders and go from that, I would have thought, Pat. Is that right?
That's right.
Excellent.
You're right on.
Well, I've got two final questions for you. These could be crucial. They're always asked in terms of the sort of format that we use these shows. First of all, Pat Honeyoats, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Ah, it's wonderful. Clear. Wonderful.
Well, I'd like to feel we've got a certain level of maturity in our communications, but I'm not going to make any judgments about that because it wouldn't be good. You know, we'll move on. So let's move on to that next one. Can we look forward to hopefully featuring you again in the very near future, possibly when we get the Pocket Guide and that sort of book out, as well as the months proceed? Will you return, Pat?
I absolutely will, and thank you so much for inviting me, Alex, and thank you for today.